Everyone say, yay, God. All right, let's all come together. Please come on down and have a seat. Thank you so much for being here. Wasn't that a wonderful praise and worship? Wasn't that a wonderful Torah service? Thank you for honoring the Torah. That's the one thing I think that is so much more exciting in all the weeks we have services is to carry the Torah around, to see not just a representation of the ancient Word of God, but that's a Word of God. It's a copy of the Word of God that's been around since Zach or someone. How many years old is that? That's like 400 years old. 400 years old. So before this country was established and before all of that of our current history here, that scroll was written by hand. And that's a piece of our history as a people of believers. And it's amazing. It's a beautiful thing. Well, let's pray. Father God, you are marvelous. May this time of listening and studying and knowing your word, may this enrich our lives. May we be better disciples. And may we love you more deeply. In Yeshua's name, amen. Oh, please, sir, can you help me? I need your help. Please, can you help me? We're stuck here in Wichita till Tuesday, and our car broke down, and we can't afford to get it fixed here, but we need to be leaving on a bus on Tuesday. But could you please help us stay in the motel until Tuesday morning? I'm so ashamed to be asking, but I really, really need your help. The church said they can't help us until Tuesday because their offices are closed tomorrow. They did give us some food from the kitchen, but I really, really need your help. Could you pay for my husband, my son, and I to stay the next two nights at the Motel 6? It's just over there. We've been there, but they're going to kick us out at noon, and we just need two more nights. Could you help me, please? That's a true story. I met a beggar at a church parking lot on Easter Sunday. And those were about the same words, but it was very interesting encounter. The rest of our conversation filled in my questions, and when I was satisfied, it seemed to be the right thing to do. So I took the lady to the Motel 6 and paid for two more nights so they could get out of town on Tuesday. I left her with my favorite question. Has anyone reminded you yet today? You're supposed to say, reminded me of what? Say that. That God loves you. That's true, isn't it? Well, not only did she hear it, but the clerk at the desk heard it and he smiled. He said, yes, yes, it's true. Everyone who hears that knows it's true, right? Well, I took the receipt from the office clerk, went on my way home. It was Resurrection Sunday at Central Community Church. And I promise, if you want to hear the rest of the story, I'll tell you out at the Oneg. Well, for those of us who are new to Remnant, I'm so glad you're here this morning. My name is Brian Fritz. I'll be your guest teacher today, also known as a substitute. I don't have much of a formal title here, but I'm just a good guy that loves the Lord. And I tried to walk with Yeshua as my rabbi and Messiah. I was introduced to Jesus as my Savior as a young boy who excelled at the Lutheran version of Jesus Christ. But I did not survive the challenge of my faith through liberal arts schooling. But the Lord found me and I rediscovered the risen Savior at a spiritual retreat back in 1981. I love to read and study and teach from the Bible. And I am so grateful and glad he's extended my days to be here with you. Now, my goal for us today, the one thing, the one idea or behavior I want you to carry away Real effective prayer is much like effective begging, pleading, persistent, long asking. I want us to become the best beggars toward God, and we will practice this at the end. I promise this will get very exciting. A prophetic spiritual experience I had with the Lord back in 1984 left me bewildered. I was at an evening Baptist church service watching a traveling singing group, and they had a quartet, and while they were singing, the Lord gave me a direct impression, a message. I was to tell the leader of the quartet that his prayers had been heard and they would be answered soon. That had never happened to me before. I was confused. I looked at the man on the stage and I pondered the words I'd heard in my head. I'm not that kind of guy. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I made it up. What am I supposed to do? This is weird. I'm not that kind of believer. Well, the music service ended. We got up. I still had that impression I was supposed to tell the man the message. I left with my wife, and we got our baby girl from the nursery. We loaded her up in the baby seat in the car, and then I drove down the street. Not the end. However, God said something I heard in my heart. You are going back and tell that man the message. I stopped the car, explained what I had heard to my wife, did a U-turn in the middle of the street, went back in the auditorium, saw the man. I walked up to him. I told him I had never done this before, and I was very confused. I asked him if he'd been praying for something for a long time. He smiled. He said he had been. I told him the Lord wanted me to tell him that his prayers were heard and they would be answered soon. He smiled and he thanked me. Really strange experience. Never done that before. I have no idea what else happened to the man or how his prayers were answered. I don't know the rest of the story. But for me, it was a new chapter of an amazing spiritual journey that the Lord provided. And it became a basis for this talk. God hears our prayers. However, I want to separate a couple of understandings of begging. Modern, common begging, the kind of panhandling we see on the street corner at intersections. It's not a socially acceptable way of making a living in our culture, but urgency and gravity of needs push people to seek help any way they can. I'm hoping to improve what we understand of begging. Street begging is probably the third oldest profession in the world, and you probably know the other two. Have you ever been to a second or third world class country, a very poor country? You get off the bus or you get out of the car, what happens? In a city, you're swarmed by beggars, and not just little kid beggars, older beggars, just a swarm of beggars. Has anyone seen that or felt that happen when they were in another country? It's crazy. This begging is aimed at anyone who looks like they are better off and may have money to gain to them for the begging. But that's not the begging I'm focusing on. It's much different. The begging I want to talk about is the upward, continuous beseeching and begging of God to provide something. This urgent request is not aimed at everyone, but to God alone. It can be intense. I'm not discounting that saying a one-time prayer for one thing is not valid. I'm saying those prayers can be effective and they are heard and they can provide instant answers. And actually, They are great demonstrations of God's will and power in the immediate instant. Has anyone seen the answer to prayer in an instant where someone prayed for something and then instantly it happened? I see a few hands. The rest of you, I hope we can. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right. Oh, back winner. No, I'm kidding. That's not an auction today. All right. So, rather, in this case, petitioning, asking repeatedly, very often, sometimes lengthy, frequent, urgent, yearning, emotional, deep, wanting, persistent prayers make more of a change and impact on us than on God. God knows what we need. God knows what we want. I'd like to tell a story about a very long, prolonged prayer season of my life. It began when my oldest daughter was 12 years old, came down a hill and crashed into a pickup truck. She could not stop coming down the hill, slammed into the pickup truck. Her head, I hear, was told she hit not the windshield, but the metal post where the windshield was, flew 15 feet up in the air, and landed on her back on the asphalt. That was a very scary, very terrible experience. She barely survived with her life. She was airlifted to the hospital, and our whole world, our whole routine stopped. Nothing else mattered. But we begged the Lord, and we asked and prayed, and people carried those prayers into all the directions of all of our friends, all of the church networks we were part of, and prayers went all over, even the country. It was amazing. Nothing else mattered, but we begged that the Lord would help and heal her. Persistent, deep petitions, long, deep, desperate emotions, and prayers for her recovery. We watched the long, grotesque effects of severe brain trauma occur. Her head swelled up just terribly from the impact. Her forearm skin had been peeled back from her arm hitting the side of the truck and peeling the skin back. Her organs and other bones were intact, but blood had come out of her ears after she landed on the asphalt. I wasn't there, but I heard the details third hand. Hours of waiting and praying in the hospital slowly pressed against the thick fog bank of the unknown. We had no idea what would happen. They moved her to the ICU, where she stayed in a drug-induced coma to block the pain that would have occupied her whole body from head to toe. So she wasn't able to communicate with us. We couldn't communicate with her, but we told the Lord. We told the Lord. It was a very deep time. Well, then the neurologist gave us bad news. Her brainstem had barely survived the terrible shaking, and she would probably not wake up from the drug-induced coma. Days passed. We continued to pray. She woke up from the coma. Well, the doctor said that she would probably not be able to speak. We prayed. She spoke. The doctor said she would probably not be able to walk. We continued to pray. Days passed. She stood up off the edge of her bed and eventually walked. The doctor said she would not have the same brain. Her mental capacity, emotional capacity, she would have severe learning disruption, severe social problems from the brain injury. And I'd seen that happen with adults who behaved like young children, but they were adults. It wasn't because they were immature, it was that their brain had been arrested at the age of their injury. So I knew what that was like, and I knew it was a possibility. But we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. Slowly, she rebuilt her memory, her language, her emotions, her interpersonal understanding, but only as much as a 12-year-old can understand the world. She continued her regrowth and redevelopment and recovery, and she excelled once she got back into public high school. She excelled in her studies, in music, her social relationships, and her fun. We prayed and we praised God for all he had done. Can I get a yay, God?
Yay, God!
Amen. That's exactly what happened. Well, years later, she graduated the top 3% of her large 4A high school. She went to Colorado Christian University, studied Spanish, English, and a few other things. She taught English in a summer program in Mexico. She was teaching English to Spanish speakers. She actually had a semester where she went off to Oxford as an exchange program from CCU. She taught Spanish in Hawaii and Colorado, and then she ran off to Jerusalem with a friend and learned Hebrew in an immersive 3-month program. Wow. We praised God for all he had done. Now she's married, has 3 of my wonderful grandchildren, and then they moved off to Israel, and they're doing great. So that's how I praise God for his answers to long, persistent prayers. This is my personal example of a long, persistent prayer with a positive outcome. Not every prayer of every parent gets answered the way they want. It doesn't happen that way. There's no guarantee. But God is our guarantee. God is the one in charge, isn't he? Can I get an amen? The Torah portion Naomi heard Naomi read this morning, it will be the focus of our study. We'll reread it soon. It's said by many scholars over the ages how strong, how unique, and yet how meek Moses was as a leader. How long did Moses have the idea in his head that he was going to lead the Hebrews into the promised land? How often did Moses get sick of his job and the burden of leading his brothers, sisters, his enemies, his detractors, the ex-slaves, and the little children, and the cowards? How many times did he have to deal with hunger, sin, rebellion, bad news, and hard days and nights? Yet God gave him the job and the vision to take them out of Egypt and to the place God desired. Moses knew he had to deliver on that mission God gave him. He was faithful as much as he knew how. Moses had a powerful position, and it was reinforced by his love and fear of God. He witnessed so many miracles that he had a role in performing, and Moses had assumed that he'd see the end of the mission completed all the way through. But did that happen? No. Let's read Exodus 2, chapter 2, verses 21 to 25. Now, I am encourager of getting the Bible open and finding Exodus 2, 21 to 25. Because that makes you a stronger, stronger believer. Amen? Now, I'm doing physical therapy for my shoulder, and all I can do is lift my arm up this high. But that's bigger, more than I could a month ago. And I'm just picking up little weights and little things. And so picking up that little Bible, it's going to help you get stronger, okay? Please get used to that. So let's read Exodus 2, verses 21 to 25. Moses was glad to stay on with the man. Oh, yeah, this is where Moses was with the priest of Midian and, Reuel, their father. He came back and they said, "Where is he? Why did you leave the man there and invite him?" So it says in verse 21, Moshe was glad to stay on with the man, and he gave Moshe his daughter Zipporah in marriage. She gave birth to a son and named him Gershon, foreigner there, for he said, "I have been a foreigner in a foreign land." Sometime during those many years, the king of Egypt died, but the people of Israel still groaned under the yoke of slavery, and they cried out. And their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. God saw the people of Israel, and God acknowledged them. How much crying and prayer went up to God from Egypt? 2 people? 5 people? 50 people? Many. Hundreds and thousands. Men, women, and children. This wasn't the same kind of slavery that we had in America. It was a very different kind of slavery, but yet their cry for freedom, their cry for their destiny was heard. So how old was Moses? Well, he was presumed to be between 25 to 40 years old when he went out to watch what was going on with his Hebrew brothers. But Moses ended up killing the Egyptian. Then he had to leave Egypt. It's unknown how long it was between the killing of the Egyptian and his fugitive escape to Midian. His meeting Reuel and his daughters went well at the well. That was Moses' lucky day to meet his wife Zipporah. Well, later on, how long did it take for Moses until he met the I Am at the burning bush? Well, it's conjecture. The Bible doesn't say exactly, but from the time he left Egypt to the time he discovered a new career path on shepherding to meeting Zipporah and Jethro and getting married and then getting graduated from shepherding school and then had his own flock to go out. It says it was many years. A generous estimate of 10 to 20 years after his exile began is what some scholars say. After the burning bush, and once Aaron joined Moses, Scripture says that Moses was 80 years old when they first spoke with Pharaoh in Exodus 7. Moses had 40 years in Egypt, probably, 40 years in the wilderness shepherding sheep and getting ready to address Pharaoh. Now, before he went to go see Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron had to meet with all of the tribes spread about. He had to bring the news that the I Am had sent him. Can you imagine? Hundreds of thousands of people, and you've got to go to town halls all over Egypt? That'd be a lot of work. No wonder he got another few years. His first 80 years taught him how to negotiate anything with anyone. But the next 40 years were the hardest and the most painful in his life. Let's look at Deuteronomy 3, verses 23 to 25. Deuteronomy 3, 23 to 25. Found it? All right. "Then I pleaded with Adonai, 'Adonai Elohim, you have begun to reveal your greatness to your servant and your strong hand. For what other God is there in heaven or on earth that you can do the works and mighty deeds that you do? Please let me go across and see the good land on the other side of the Jordan, that wonderful hill country and the Lebanon.'" Well, that was the part that was the hardest for him to accept, I think. He had taken all of the children of Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea into a journey, fighting, scratching, clawing all their way along, and God provided miraculous manna. But there was a breakdown. There was a breakdown of what he was supposed to do in one instant, and God said, no, you will not go in. Well, God had said things like that before. God had said that he was going to wipe out all of Israel and start over with Moses. He said, no, I beg you. And God changed his mind. So his goal was not just to pester him. Moses' goal was to try to fulfill the mission he had, the mission of going into the promised land. That's where he thought he was going. Let's read Exodus 3, 15 to 17, back to Exodus 3. Exodus 3, 15 to 17. God said further to Moshe, say this to the people of Israel, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Adonai, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzhak, and the God of Yaakov, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how I am to be remembered, generation after generation. Go gather the leaders of Israel together and say to them, Adonai, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, has appeared to me and said, I have been paying close attention to you and seen what is being done to you in Egypt. And I have said that I will lead you out of the misery of Egypt to the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amori, the Perizzite, the Hivi, and the Yevusi, to a land flowing with milk and honey. That was the goal. I don't think that was just the second or third time Moses had in his mind that that's where they were going. God even repeats this twice in Exodus 3. I'm not going to reread it, but it's back up in Exodus 3, 6. It's the same thing. Just another paragraph or two down, he repeats the goal. So that becomes Moses' mantra. So for 40 years in the wilderness, regardless of the circumstances, that was his message to the children of Israel. That was his permanent message. We are going to the promised land. We are going to the promised land. Where are we going? To the promised land. We are going to the... We are going to the... Well, the kids have this now. Come on, adults. We are going to the... Amen. Okay. So that was Moses' intention. Now, as an aside, isn't it interesting that when the adults say, why did you bring us out in the desert to die? God doesn't say precisely, but that's exactly what happened, right? He had to get rid of the slave, take slaves out of the Hebrew to get the Hebrews to depend on God. And that was a hard thing to do. There was lots of death and suffering. So Moses begged God almost constantly. God spoke to Moses constantly. Moses knew the voice of God. Just like the three times I've heard the voice distinctly, God heard. Moses heard God's voice distinctly, continually. That is remarkable. But God had had enough. God said no, and that was that. But even with that bad news, Moses didn't quit. Moses didn't give up. Moses continued his mission the best he could. Let's read Deuteronomy 3, 26 to 29. Back to Deuteronomy 3, 26, 29. So he pleads with God to go back across to see the good land on the other side of the Jordan. Verse 26, but Adonai was angry with me on account of you, the people of Israel. On account of you, he didn't listen to me. And Adonai said to me, enough from you. Don't say another word to me about this matter. Well, that's pretty definitive. No more asking God to go in. But God says, climb up to the top of Pisgah and look out to the west, the north, the south, and the east. Look with your eyes, but you will not go across this Jordan. However, commission Joshua, encourage him and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across and enable them to inherit the land that you will see. So we stayed in the valley across from Beit Por. Interestingly enough, when we were reading this version of the section, I saw a phrase that may have been another interpretation of it. And it says here in verse 26, but Hashem became angry with me because of you, and he did not listen to me. Hashem said to me, here's the part I didn't see, it is too much for you. It is too much for you. How old is Moses? We estimate 120 years. I just saw today that the oldest living man in the world is 111. Well, let's see how long that lasts. I'm sorry, that's dark. That's very dark, excuse me. But it happens. All of us will pass. But Moses gets to be 120. Isn't that remarkable? And God further says, do not continue to speak with me further on this matter. So he is told to go up to the top of Pisgah. And the closest thing he can get is to see what lies ahead. I saw some pictures that I didn't try to incorporate. It is a vista off Mount Pisgah or Mount Nebo, whichever way you want to look at this. It's a vista that's difficult to see completely all the way to the Mediterranean, but that whole region was promised, but that was the point. God gave Moses the vision to the mission. Moses saw it and spoke it before it came to be. That's faith. But then God gave Moses the sight of the mission nearing completion. So for decades and decades and decades of speaking the mission, the best thing that God did for him was show him where they were going. So Moses was about 120 years old when he climbed up that mountain of Pisgah. I bet it was a long, hard climb for the elderly Moses. Maybe he had some help. I don't know. Perhaps that arduous, difficult, nearly impossible climb for Moses was an experience of exhaustion that proved to him his body was giving out. His stamina was vanishing. Perhaps God knew Moses couldn't make it. He wouldn't make it. We don't know. Except that that's what God ordained. And it happened that way. This is one of the hard examples. This is one of Scripture's examples of long, persistent prayer with an unexpected answer. Not exactly the answer Moses liked or wanted. Well, back to the title of this drash, Good Samaritan Beggars. We really must become very good at begging God. Not because he wants you to whimper like a four-year-old at the checkout line at the grocery store begging for candy, but because begging God aligns our hearts and our emotions to trusting God for his answer. Begging God points your soul to the possibility that he sees and hears your desires. Begging God doesn't make God give in. Begging God, you live, make you give in to God's plan. That's what begging is for. The disciples were taught to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's rich. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it doesn't matter if it's in heaven or it's on earth, God's will be done. Yeshua taught in parables of persistent prayer. Let's look at Luke 18. Luke 18, 1 to 8. Luke 18, 1 through 8. Got it? Okay. Then Yeshua told his Talmudim a parable in order to impress on them that they must always keep praying and not lose heart. He says, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected other people. There was also in that town a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me a judgment against the man who is trying to ruin me.' For a long time he refused, but after a while he said to himself, 'I don't fear God and I don't respect other people, but because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see to it that she gets justice. Otherwise, she'll keep coming and pestering me until she wears me out.' Then the Lord Yeshua commented, 'Notice what this corrupt judge says. Now, won't God grant justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Is he delaying long over them? I tell you that he will judge in their favor and quickly. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find this trust on earth at all?'" Boy, that's strong. Now, what was the widow praying for? What was the widow praying for? Justice. Not a new car. Not persistently praying for a new house. Not praying for so-and-so to do so-and-so. She was praying for justice. She wanted the right thing to be done and that the man would stop. Now, remember that story I told about the man who had prayed for a long time at the church that I got to speak to? I didn't know anything about him or his request, but God wanted me to inform him that God Almighty had heard his petitions. It wasn't on me. It was for that man, that he wanted that man to know his petitions had been heard. I was just a good Samaritan. I didn't know any different. I didn't know anything about the Jewishness of Yeshua. I didn't know anything about the eternal promises of God given to the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I didn't know what I know now. I was just as good of a good Samaritan as I could be. Maybe you don't know much about Messianic Judaism. Maybe you've just begun your exploration. That's good. I'm glad you're here. We need to follow the words and the will of our rabbi and our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. Well, now we are going to the practical application of my talk. You are going to pray. You're going to pray earnestly. If you can, please pray out loud. If you dare, cry out to God. We will start with a period of silence. And then once you have confirmed in your mind the one thing God wants you to pray for, the one thing that God has had you maybe already praying about, it's the time to focus on it. Well, if you've never had one big thing to pray to God about, well, that is indeed your prayer today. What should I be praying for earnestly, Lord? What should I be doing in your kingdom, God? Saul the apostle wrote in the letter to the Romans, Romans 12. Look here first before we go. Romans 12, verses 11 through 13. I love the whole book. I love the whole chapter. You know, it starts off with, I exhort you, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to offer your sacrifice. No, but here's the part way down in here, verse 11. Don't be lazy when hard work is needed, but serve the Lord with spiritual fervor. Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in your troubles, and continue steadfastly in prayer. Share what you have with God's people and practice hospitality. I don't need to say anything else, do I? God wants us to pray earnestly, even begging. It's good. One thing I've been praying for a long time is that all of my daughters, all of my grandchildren, all of my family would hear the voice of God, that they would come closer to Him, that their hearts would be healed, that they would walk in God's ways. Some of them are. Some of them aren't. How many of you are parents of grown children? That's your prayer. Isn't that important? Doesn't that weigh on your heart? Another prayer that the Lord's brought up to me is, I think today, maybe today, the 13th of April, is much like December 6th, 1941, or September 10th, 2001, or October 5th or 6th, 2023. One thing those all have in common, it's just another normal day. Well, and then what happened after that? The next day, disaster struck. There are forces at work right now in Israel. The alerts are at the highest level for what's going to happen from Iran. God forbid it happen. God forbid. But God knows the future. God knows what will happen. And I pray that God will strengthen our hearts and all the hearts of all the believers if that day comes soon. It may. But we need to pray continuously for the one thing He has put in our heart. The one thing He has put in our heart. So I'm going to do something really awkward. I want us, you can stand or sit, you can do whatever you want, but I want us to have a time of silence, a time of prayer, a time of focus, and maybe the pianist will come in and start playing that song. Just silence first, yeah. But then we can go in. And I want you to pray. I'm not praying. And if you pray out loud, it's okay. If multiple people are praying out loud all over, it's okay. God hears our prayers. He hears prayers in all other languages right now. He hears prayers all over Wichita right now. He hears prayers all over Kansas right now. He hears prayers all over the world right now. And you will not overload the prayer line. He hears our prayers and He loves us. Enough talking about praying. Let's pray.